Good morning and welcome. What a beautiful Sunday morning it is. Praise God for this day that we can gather together and worship His name. We want to begin with just some announcements, and you'll see some of these are on your back of your bulletin. I believe it's birthday Sunday, and I think we have treats back there. Is that right? Anyone have a December birthday? All right. Back here. All right. Wonderful. We had a December anniversary. We went to Williamsburg on Wednesday and stayed overnight and came back on Thursday. Nice day. Beautiful weather and a good time. And so we praise God for 32 years together. Let's sing that happy birthday song. Praise God for those who are celebrating special occasions this month. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Please feel free to pick up a treat as you exit this morning. We are continuing our study here this morning of David Jeremiah. A good message this morning, very timely one on the pandemic. You're welcome to join us each week. Next week is going to be talking about finances, economic, and we're also planning for our candlelight service coming up. That's next Sunday evening at 7. The 19th. Okay. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today. All right, and and our Christmas Bazaar is coming up here on Saturday, so don't miss that. Add.
Kelly just sent me a message today to that. So, yeah, Saturday is our Christmas Bazaar over here at the fire company from 1 to 5. They are going to be setting up on Friday evening. And she says if anyone wants to drop off their baked goods or whatever, they will be there from 5 to 7 over at the fire hall on Friday evening, or you can bring it from 9 to 1 on Saturday. So that's that. Right now, she says they are up to 19 vendors.
Wow.
That will be there setting up to have sale. Plus, the ladies' auxiliary will be doing the food, so you can shop and eat and relax, and I think Christmas music will be in order too, so she just asked me to share that with everybody. So Friday night from 5 to 7, you can drop your stuff off, or Saturday from 9 to 1.
Kelly's doing a wonderful job, and the sign out front here as well to advertise.
Yes.
Brother Bob?
Just a reminder, the newsletters are in the mailboxes back here, and the Christmas cards are starting to be put in there too, so please check your mailboxes. Thank you.
Yes, and
the letters are in the windows now, and if you'd like to dedicate one to a family member or somebody that has passed away, there's a card there, just fill the card out, and then if you want to donate something toward it, just let me know.
The poinsettias are in the windows. How they really make it look festive in here, don't they? And these are the beautiful, great big ones here at the front. Praise God. Other announcements? Thought I saw another hand. Okay. Okay, wonderful. Well, we are grateful for this season and the things that are going on in our community and church, and we just want to praise God for that. We will begin our worship with this prelude. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's one that we ought to be able to recite and remember. Praise God for this day. And we rejoice and we're glad in it. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this special day, your day, a day that we can come and to worship you. And we ask, Lord, you might can move in a mighty way, that your Holy Spirit indeed would be present and illuminate the scriptures for us, Lord. Help us to praise, sing your praises. And we pray, Father, that you might just move in a mighty way and let your will be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our lighting of the candle here this morning is going to be Brother Jerry. Deb is visiting family in Tennessee, and so Jerry, thanks for filling in.
Today, being the second Sunday of Advent, we light the peace candle. Today, we light the candle, and the scripture comes from Luke 2:13-14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Jesus is sent by the Father to bring peace between God and man. We are caught up in struggle, strife, and sin. Jesus doesn't come, however, to smooth over our conflicts, nor does he come with an armed might to force us to lay down our arms. Rather, he comes to die for the sins that lie at the heart of our rebellion against him. The Prince of Peace takes upon himself our sins and unrest. As Isaiah put it, its punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. To receive his peace this Christmas, come to him in surrender, and through this act of faith, receive his grace and forgiveness. Shalom. Let us pray. Father, forgive us our selfish, rebellious hearts. We open ourselves to you and invite you to come into us afresh and grant us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand now and join to begin one of the carols at this time, 83.
Oh, come, all ye faithful.
You may be seated. We want to take a few minutes in our worship here to share those joys and concerns that we have. What's on your heart that you would like to have us pray about?
Yes. A couple of joys here. I'd like to comment on the beautiful decorations and the flowers and the windows and the ones who did such a good job doing that.
Amen.
And the Lord looked them up. I think it's just beautiful for the hours spent and what we have to see when it's done. And also a praise is going out to the ones that have been choosing to do the cleaning for the church, and they're doing a wonderful job, and we just want to lift them up and give them great thanks for the reference. Now, but just put down Bob's list right now. Save me a lot of time.
Okay.
First off, of course, naturally, is Alan Baker, and we pray that he's doing better. I see him out once in a while. Steve Wolf, he has graduated back to work a little bit, but still the pain is there. My son Larry and his treatments that he's taking. Frank and Pat have some health issues that need to be looked after. Deb and Ralph have health issues and also traveling, like you say, to Tennessee. Then there's Brother Jeff back here and his family for the loss of his dad. Ralph Cottle, which I don't know if anybody knows him, but he fell and broke his hip. My wife Linda has some procedures coming up. Gary has some leg problems. Rick and Jenny have their issues too. Baker. And of course, our church, our ministry, our congregation, our government, and its leadership, our friends, and our neighbors. And yes, all those that I have forgotten.
That is a good list. Others? Yes. Danny? Thank you. Any others? Yes.
I'd like to thank everyone for the support and everything. Really appreciate it. And the cards coming out. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I'd like to take a special time to thank you for the service that you've won.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Praise God.
Thank you to everyone. Praise God for the family.
Amen.
I'm just going to echo Frank? What my brother said. All those that he mentioned. Pretty well took care of it. And we want to continue to pray for this country, America, as well as the rest of the world. And those that need the support of God, the leadership to take place in their lives.
Thank you. Any others?
Just keep my list of unspoken and those ones that need lifted up. And a joy, I will add, is Wednesday night we were able to get together with Frank and Pat in a group to get the directory going for the upcoming year. So we had a lot to do. There was a lot to it this year. So
love
it. A joy that we could get together and fellowship and be able to get do the church's work.
Amen.
I would like to thank the committee, the help that I got from each and every one of them. Tremendously appreciated.
Great. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, and you're invited to kneel or remain seated with your head bowed, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together at the end. Dear God of peace, thank you for the peace that you give us that passes all understanding. Thank you for keeping our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings of the season. We rejoice in special days, of birthdays and anniversaries. We rejoice, Lord, in your goodness to us and providing for us for this past week, hedge protection that you've given to us. For a measure of health and wholeness, for the blessings of this land in which we live. Lord, there are so many things that we can count, and we are just grateful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you that we're a part of your family, the family of God. We are blessed by the decorations and flowers of the season. We are blessed by those that clean the church and take part in its service. We are blessed, Lord, in so many ways. Answers to prayer, provisions for your goodness that allows us to work together on various jobs and committees. Lord, we pray for those that are under the weather, those that still need a touch of your hand. And so we pray for Alan and Steve and Larry and Frank and Pat and my Pat. Be with Deb and Ralph as they travel. Give them safety. We pray your blessings and comfort on Jeff and his family. Be with Ralph and Linda and Jerry and Rick and Jen. God, would you move mightily in our church and ministry? Thank you for this upcoming bazaar on Saturday and for the good turnout of vendors. So we pray, Lord, for a good turnout of people. That would be a place of fun and joy, as well as proceeds that would benefit many. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over those that are serving. So those that are serving in government, leadership. Bless those who are involved in the fire hall. And bless our nurses and all that serve on the front lines, or police. Watch over our soldiers, Lord, and be with them. Many will not be able to be home with their families at Christmas time. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to meet the needs of those names that are on our lists. We ask, Lord, for your hand to bring about a reduction in the numbers. We see COVID numbers continuing to increase. We pray, Lord, that you would decrease the spread. We ask, Lord, for your will to be done in our lives. So we pray for a hedge of protection around our loved ones, our family, our friends. We pray that this would be a time when we reach out. When the world is sensitive to the message of Christmas, Lord, help us to show your love to those that are near and to those who are far. We continue to pray for the Operation Shoebox Project, Lord, as those shoeboxes are prepared for overseas travel. We pray that you would allow them to reach their destinations and be handed out in the villages and the towns and various places, Lord, and would give you much honor and glory. We ask, Lord, that you might meet the needs of our missionaries. Help those who are on the front lines, Lord, sharing the good news. We pray that you would continue to support, that you would continue to strengthen, you would bless their families. God, we pray you would just comfort those that are in the hospital. Help them to get home for Christmas. We ask, Lord, that your blessings would reach those who have not yet named the name of Christ. So we pray, Father, for those lost loved ones. Put someone in their path, Lord. Help them to hear a message, to see something that would cause them to reflect on your goodness and turn to you. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us as disciples of Jesus Christ how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Crazy, I forgot one. I think I need to look her up. That's our sister, Kathy Peters.
And at this time, we're going to sing another carol, and it's number 84, right across the page.
If you love me.
may be seated. Reading from today's gospel comes from Malachi chapter 3. These were words that were preached 400 years before Christ. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts and our minds indeed would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And we ask your blessing. Holy Spirit, move and have your way this day. Amen. I see them most nights, Monday through Friday. Husband and wife team enter our employment place to work, and they come to clean the building. The first shift is gone for the day, and there's only a few of us at night. They come and they vacuum and mop the floors, clean the restrooms, and take out the trash. Sometimes even their teenage son or daughter helps them, and so it seems like it's a family affair, a family business. Eduardo and Mercedes are very friendly, and they're good at cleaning, and they're hardworking. They use disinfectant, they run the dishwasher, they wipe down the windows and the surfaces. I'm even learning a few Spanish words as I greet them. They're our cleanup crew. They take care of our messes without complaint. Years ago, when Wesley had his first job, he was 15, and I'd pick him up after school and drop him at work and then go later and pick him up. And as I was sitting in the parking lot waiting, I'd see a red pickup truck come each evening. Definitely sisters, probably twins, and they were probably in their 50s. They arrived at the end of the day, and they would go into the office building where Wesley worked, carrying mops and brooms and supplies in hand to begin their job. When everyone else was going home, they were just starting. They were the cleanup crew for that building, going around to the offices, emptying the trash, wiping up the messes, making sure that everything was ready for the next morning. You know, I guess there were probably many people like them, many teams that are out making a living by cleaning. Some cleaned houses, some offices, some are amateur, many are professional. Anyone, I think, is a true servant who is able to go and do things that other people don't want to do, and so we should salute them for cleaning up our messes, cleaning up after us, doing sometimes jobs that no one else wants to do. I think sometimes nurses are a cleanup crew, especially in our hospitals. They come and clean up after us when we're sick. They wipe bottoms. They take care of the messes that we sometimes throw up and when we're not feeling well, and they do it very cheerfully and without complaint. Young parents are also kind of like cleanup crews, especially when they have young children. They have messes to clean up, diapers dirty to change, countless messes when toddlers are going around exploring their world, and sometimes even messes from teenagers that we have to deal with. Hopefully, God forbid, we don't have to deal with too many messes, like scrapes with the law or broken relationships. They aren't so easy to clean up or to fix. Really, God is the only one who can clean up after these kinds of things. He has his own unique ways in dealing with our messes, dealing with our situation. When the Lord had a big mess on his hands, he sent his own cleanup crew. The job called for a strong cleanser, like Fuller's soap and a launderer's lye bar. Just in time, just the right time, this tag team steps on the world stage to perform their work in our behalf. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. You know, John was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, a child of promise and a miracle. He was the forerunner of Christ, and the Messiah, the baptizer, came to prepare the way. In many ways, he was the foreclosure of the Old Testament and the forerunner of the New Testament, making that transition between law and grace. The man who was plain but powerful. In his parentage, he had just plain parents, but they were priestly in their descent. And Elizabeth was akin to Mary, the mother of Jesus. In his aesthetics, John lived in the desert. He was a Nazarite from birth, and he was very self-reliant and had a lot of spiritual strength. And yet he spent his life in solitude and was very plain. Plain in his dress, camel's hair, plain in his food. He ate honey from the fig trees and edible locusts. And he was plain in his speech. He was rather direct, frank, solemn, giving powerful messages that caused great conviction and repentance. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher from years ago, said that John the Baptist was the first Baptist minister to lose his head through dancing. He was, of course, you know, beheaded by Herod after a party and a request from the daughter. Well, John the Baptist came as a messenger, and Malachi here tells us about, he foretells that coming of the messenger and the Messiah 400 years before it takes place. You know, I thought about that a little bit. You know, from the last word in the Old Testament to the first word in the New Testament, 400 years of silence. God didn't speak. Not a word. And I wondered, maybe God was so upset with his people for messing up all the time, making all those messes for so long, that maybe he was just kind of silent for a while. And then finally, the very voice of God was heard in the wilderness. That voice was through John the baptizer, crying out a message of repentance, paving the way for the Master. A tag team was coming on the scene. A new era was beginning. Malachi speaks for God and is one of the many prophecies that were fulfilled in the life and the ministry of Jesus. The subject of Christ's coming preceded that of the forerunner and was fulfilled Jesus' own words. Here's what Jesus said about his cousin, John the Baptist, in Luke 7. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? This is he whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, to prepare your ways before you. The Old Testament believers had many prophetic promises of how and why the coming Messiah would enter humanity. And these include his arrival on earth as a child, born of a virgin, born in the town of Bethlehem, a firstborn son, a tribe of Judah, in the line of David as a king, and from the seed of Abraham and from Isaac. All of these and many others were fulfilled in complete accuracy as the old offspring of the woman bruised the serpent's head. And in the fullness of time, at just the right time, in the nick of time, God sent his cleanup crew. Messianic prophecies are many. And the calculations have been made that in order for one person to fill just a few of these prophecies would mean astronomical, and Christ fulfilled all of them. Not only was he preceded by the forerunner John, he was to be preceded by Elijah, declared the Son of God, would have a Galilean ministry, would speak in parables, would be a prophet, would bind up the brokenhearted, and then be rejected by his own people. These, along with others, were fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And so Jesus' first advent into our world came at a critical time in the earth's history and brought hope on the darkest night of our world, and our world so desperately needed peace at that time. God came himself, incarnate, into the worst mess of all, to clean up humanity and to make a way possible for all of us that we might have a right relationship with God. I wonder if you've ever been in a real mess. Can you think of a mess that you weren't sure how you were going to take care of it, how you were going to clean it up? What would you do? Sometimes back on the farm, we would get into a job, we'd start a job, and it would seem that as we continued to go on, things would get worse, you know, and it would be kind of grow, and it would get bigger and bigger, and what we thought might take care of, you know, one day might take, you know, several days to finish, and it just required a lot more work to do it right. Dad always said, you know, a job worth doing is worth doing right. And so, you know, it would end up becoming bigger and take more time to fulfill and to clean up. Sometimes in the middle of winter, we would have those days where it would be, weather would be pretty good. And so Dad would say, well, let's clean out the stalls, you know, or clean out the chicken coop or clean out the hog house. And so we would begin trying to clean up the mess. You know, as you kind of throwing out the straw and stuff, it kind of covers it up for a while, and then after a while it gets so deep you got to take care of it. And so you begin forking it out, and the fumes, particularly the chicken house, the nitrogen from the chicken house would often be very strong. And so we would clean out the bin, and it would be so strong it would almost take your breath away. And then we'd take it out and spread it on the fields, and day or two, you would notice that there was a difference in that fresh country air. But in the end, you did some good. Their pens were clean. The crops were fertilizer for the next spring. And life was good. God had a worse mess to clean up when he considered humanity. He had a real mess on his hands. And it's not that he scratched his head and thought, now what am I going to do? But from the very beginning of the foundation of the world, he already knew what he planned to do. And a privileged nation of Israel became polluted by sin and the sin of the priests and the people. And oftentimes they turned their back on God. And yet God kept his promise. Kept his promise to them as a nation. The promises that were predicted by the prophets. And the coming of God's messenger and God's Messiah. Christ is a refiner, and his refining was the purifying of his people, the removal of all dross and alloy, the removal of sin, a tremendous mess that required someone special. There was once a Bible study group, and they came across verse 3 here in our text. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And the ladies thought, well, you know, that's kind of puzzling, when I'm not exactly sure what that means. And so one of the ladies volunteered to see if she could find out a little bit more about it and report back to the group next week. And so that week, the woman called a silversmith, and she made an appointment to watch his work. And she didn't mention why she was there, other than she was curious about the process of refining silver. And as she watched the silversmith work, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in the refining, the silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flame was the hottest, so as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about that for a minute, and she thought, God holds us in the hot spot oftentimes. She thought again about the verse, he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And so she asked the silversmith, is it true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time that the silver was being refined? And the man answered right immediately, yes. He said that he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver as well the entire time that it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked him, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? And he smiled at her and he answered, oh, that's easy, when I see my image in it. If today you're feeling like you're in the heat of the fire, remember that God has his eye on you. And he will keep you in the fire until he sees his image in you. We are to reflect his image. And he will continue that good work in us until it's completed. I think Christ wants to impart to us holy qualities to render us the best possible vessel that he can use to share his good news with those around us. How does he do this? In what ways does he act as refiner for his people? Well, first of all, his truth is refining. We find this in the Bible. The words of his mouth are pure. They enlighten the eyes, and they exert a cleansing power over the heart and over one's life. Jesus once prayed, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we know that the Bible is a place that we can find truth. It is refining. And his spirit is refining in us. The Holy Spirit has its results in us, influence us, and the Holy Spirit is holy. He desires for us to experience that holiness. And so he refines us by leading the mind and the truth, and by applying the blood of Jesus to the conscience for a cleansing from all sin. Peter once wrote, he said, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And third, Christ refines by affliction. Sometimes we have to go through the fire. He brings his people into the furnace, and by causing them to pass through the fires, he makes us to lose the dross and the tin of sin. We lose those things that aren't good and helps us to become even more better people. He himself is said to have gone through and made perfect through sufferings. And though no chastising for the present is joyous, but grievous, yet afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who exercise them. It is by afflictions that many of the graces are matured, that our souls are confirmed to the suffering Redeemer. We are joint heirs with Christ. If so, we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. As a refiner, Christ possesses every qualification necessary for this work. His skill is infinite. His knowledge of nature and the knowledge of the materials that he's working with are very vast. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we can endure. He knows what we should lose. He knows where we're deficient. He knows what we need in order to complete complete everything. His experience is also extensive. Jesus suffered, and he knows our nature, and he knows the nature of affliction. He knew what it was like to be poverty-stricken, to have reproach, tribulation, anguish, and even death itself. These were all endured by Christ. So he knows what we're going through. And third, his tenderness is unbounded. You know, he not only knows the nature of our sorrows, but he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The attack of Saul upon the early church, the early Christians, was felt by Jesus. He said to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? Jesus took it personally. His tenderness being such, he would not allow our sufferings to be injurious, nor our temptations to be stronger than we are able to bear. Nor will he ever leave us in the scorching influences of the fire too long. But when we're tried, he'll bring us out as gold. As the refiner, he will watch. He'll keep his eye on the whole process. He shall heat and cool the furnace as needed, as required, and he will see the design accomplished, his own image clearly reflected in us. And then he will restore to us the crown of glory that fadeth not away. I had a friend once who went through a very difficult time, and she wrote this letter to us, and I wanted to read it because it ties in with Christmas and also with going through a fire. I hope you're all well and finding moments of reflection and joy in this very special season. For me this year, I've learned about gratitude and humbleness. It all began on December 20th when I was admitted to the hospital for blood clots in my left leg. I was there for 3 days and then sent home with strict instructions to stay off my feet. As if I had a choice, I could stand and take a few steps only out of pure force of will. The hospital arranged for a home health service to come to my apartment twice a day to give me blood thinner shots and bring me my food, take out the trash and bring in my mail. Blood clots are serious business. When I saw my doctor in January, she wouldn't accept that I had blood clots for no reason. She ordered tests, and by late January, we discovered I had ovarian cancer. The tumor pressing on a central vein was our only sign of a problem. 1 week later, I had surgery and then chemotherapy. The entire winter, spring, and half the summer were a blur. In February, I couldn't imagine 6 months of chemo treatments and the pain and suffering that followed each one, plus I could still barely walk. Time stretched ahead of me as eternity, endless and worrisome. I had always claimed that, except for a cold now and then and about pneumonia once or twice, other than these, I always claimed I never get sick. So this was unbearable to me, and yet I had no choice. I had to bear it. It was horrible. And it was wonderful. Horrible, of course, for obvious reasons, pain, suffering, fear, etc. But it was unexpectedly wonderful in ways that sounded cliche, but are nevertheless true. I saw God's face and hands in the hands and the faces of many and many friends. I heard God's voice in the words of friends, encouraging me, praying for me, and lifting my spirits. I learned how humbling it is to ask for help, and what a blessing it is to receive that help. I saw God's heart. Friends drove me to appointments, picked up medicine, brought me food, groceries, and gifts. They brought books, movies, and magazines. They added me to prayer chains. They visited, cooked, cleaned, played games. One shaved my head so I wouldn't have to watch my hair fall out. Friends from ages past sent cards. Friends of friends, even strangers, became part of my circle. People came out of thin air and loved me. So yes, it was horrible. I hope I never go through that such an ordeal again. And yet, I was overwhelmed by the love that swirled around me. So humbling, so enveloping. It was tangible. Can you imagine? I could literally feel it around me. It was beautiful. After the winter, spring, and half the summer of sick, it was a joy to return to work. I went back on August the 1st, and I'm happy to go in every single morning. I know how fortunate I am. I am very blessed. This Christmas season, I hope that you also feel and know your blessings. And at the moment of time, at the right time, in the nick of time, God sent the cleanup crew, John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. It was time for a change, time for the mess to be taken care of. God moved in humanity and brought about a solution. He wanted us to be drawn near. He wanted to take care of sin. It was time for the cleanup crew. And so I wonder, is it time for us to apply same kind of techniques? Do we need a soap to clean up the mess? Do we need to apply the Fuller soap on our hearts and our lives? It's Advent, a time that we celebrate the Lord's coming, a time when our world desperately needs a cleanup crew. In the fullness of time, Christ came, born of a virgin. God knew what to do and when to do it and who could do it. And so he sent the cleanup crew. John the Baptist preparing the way and the Messiah making a way that we could have access to God again. Christ was God's Fuller soap applied to the problem of sin to purify his people, to wash us to be whiter than snow again. We need sometimes a fresh dose of that cleanup. Sometimes we need launderer soap. Sometimes we need to go through a fire, a purifying fire, to refine us, to become more like gold and silver. God wants to see his image in us, reflecting his love to a dying world. And so the Lord always begins with his people first. He begins with the church and those in leadership, and then he moves on to others. And so our lives need to be pure. They need to have genuine love. Our conduct now needs to be above reproach. And so it's time again for a cleanup crew to do its work. Clean up the mess. What mess are you in? What mess do you need God to clean up? Ask God to let his Holy Spirit come to do a new work, a clean work in your heart, in your life, to purify your life and to reflect his image in and through you to others. God's timing was perfect. In the nick of time, in the fullness of time, God came. The prophet predicted 400 years before that it would take place, and it did. And it's time again now for his coming. We can see the signs all around us, as David Jeremiah has been pointing out to us week after week. The signs are there. His coming is soon. We want to be ready. And so if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, this is certainly a perfect time of the year to do it. And to remember that people at Christmas time are most open to the gospel message. And so remember to reflect his image to those around you. As you share, as you give, as you love on others, let them know about the love of God. That he sent his cleanup crew in, and that he can take care of any mess. No mess is too big for God to handle. Doesn't matter how much a life has been messed up, how much trouble someone is in, God can still move and clean it up and have his way. And so I encourage you this time to let God have his way in your life, in the life of this church, and in the life of our community and our friends. May God have his will be done this Christmas. Would you pray with me, please? God, you are holy. You are our Heavenly Father. And we are just so grateful that we can approach your throne of grace today. And so we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Refiner. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us, a perfect sacrifice who was enduring all the way to the cross, purifying us and cleansing us of every evil thing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be whiter than snow. Thank you for taking care of our mess. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning up after us. Lord, help us to go from this place renewed, cleansed, in a right relationship with you and your people. Holy Spirit, move among us this day. Well, this day that we remember peace on earth, goodwill to men, as we remember your coming to Bethlehem, help us, Lord, to be ready for your second advent. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We'll close our service today with another carol. It is number 88. Please join me in standing and singing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And go in peace as you wait and watch for his second advent. Go in the hope of Jesus' return. Go in the quiet peace of the Bethlehem hills at midnight. Go in the unexpected peace of a child in a manger. Go in the life-giving peace of the man of Galilee, who is for us and for the world the Prince of Peace. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Merry Christmas.